Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I was going to preach out of 2 Kings chapter 4. That's what I had prepared this morning. And the other night, one of those nights when I couldn't go to sleep, and everybody was in bed and there, and you know, you channel surf, and boy, there's a lot of nonsense on late night TV. But anyway, that turned out, I don't remember what channel it was, but it was about, I know what it was. It was Reels, the Reels channel, and it was dealing with, what's that woman in Florida that killed her baby and they found her innocent? Oh, my Lord. Casey Anthony. And I watched that, and I'll be the first to tell you, you know, it's true. She did not get justice here by men. She didn't. But, beloved, I'm telling you, there's another judge, and there will be justice one day. But let me say this also. If that woman receives Jesus Christ as her personal Savior, she will be forgiven and she will be saved. Now, if she goes through life without calling upon the name of the Lord for salvation, when she dies, then she will go to hell. As will anybody that rejects Jesus Christ as their Savior. But the point is, one day we're all going to appear before God. And beloved, either it's going to motivate us that are saved to continue to serve Him and to do our best, or if you're lost, it's going to even drive you farther away, because the devil is there planting seeds that, you know what, God can't love you. You're just too wicked. You're just too sinful. You've crossed the line. But listen to me, just as my wife just got through singing that song, listen, we can belong to Him if we come to Him. Amen. So I want us to look at this passage real quick. Look at beginning with verse 10. It says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, or precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now I want us to look at verse 13 again, and I want us to think on this thought this morning. For the day shall declare it. So let's ask God to bless His Word. Father, we love You and praise You. And thank You for the time You've given us. We thank You for everyone gathered in Your house today. We thank You for our members and our guests. And Father, we just thank You that we can assemble here and worship You, the living God. And Lord, most of all, we're thankful for the precious gift of salvation. Lord, that You loved us so much that You sent Your Son into the world to sacrifice Himself so that we might be redeemed and reconciled to You through His blood shed on the cross. And Father, thank You for our salvation and the assurance of it. And Father, as we stand here this morning, I ask for myself that You give me the words to say. Let me preach boldness and authority Your truths. And Father, open hearts and ears. If there's one here today that doesn't know You, may Your Holy Spirit convict and convince them of their need of salvation before it's too late. Lord, may Your sheep be encouraged this morning, Lord. If there's one maybe not living like they should, may Your Holy Spirit convict them and draw them to this altar where they make things right with You, Lord, and they rededicate, commit themselves. Because, Lord, as Your Word says, there's coming a day that's going to declare it. So, Father, bless the message. Use me in a mighty way for Your service. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. Notice what the Apostle Paul is telling the Corinthians here in verse 10. He says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. What the Apostle Paul is talking about here is, of course, the foundation. Anytime you start a building, you have to have a foundation, a firm and strong foundation. And beloved, understand, our foundation as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ is in Him and Him only. You see, we are to add to that foundation. Okay? Now, He is the foundation. He is the way. He's the truth. He's the life. And we are to add to that foundation every day as believers. We're to build on that foundation that Paul delivered, the gospel. You that have trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you have a responsibility to build on that foundation. And he tells us what the materials are of that foundation. Gold, silver, precious stones. In other words, if we're smart, we'll build on that foundation of Jesus Christ, us a palace. But then he says there's other materials, wood, hay, and stubble. If we're not too smart, we're not doing nothing to build upon a foundation like a palace. We're really building a mud hut. Amen? A mud hut. Now, we have a choice, don't we? Now, I want you to understand, we're talking about what? The judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat. Now, back in those days, in every city, there was a Bema seat in the center of town. And it was raised up, and people would come there when they did the Olympics, they did the games, you know, they would reward them there, but they would also come there when there was something to say and whatnot. And the Apostle Paul is telling the Corinthians here about the judgment seat. Let me just say this. If you are there at the judgment seat of Christ, it means you've trusted Jesus as your personal Savior. Because the judgment seat of Christ is for the saved. Now, if you die lost, there's another judgment place where you're going to face God, but it's not the judgment seat of Christ where believers will give an account, but it will be the great white throne judgment. Now, understand this about this judgment seat. Now, we are commanded in Scripture to build upon that foundation. And Paul said there's no other foundation than that which is laid, Jesus Christ, right? Now, understand, at that judgment, the judgment seat of Christ, understand there's two things that you got to get settled. One is salvation has been taken care of. You were saved if you appear at the judgment seat of Christ. You're saved. And that's my prayer as I stand before you. Everyone under the sound of my voice this morning has repented of your sins and you've invited Christ into your heart by faith, because that's how we're saved, by grace through faith. So, understand, you're saved when you appear there. You say, well, Brother John, when is the judgment seat of Christ? It will be taking place during the tribulation. Amen? You mean I don't have to face the tribulation? You sure don't if you're saved. You say, well, I thought we were going to go through it. No, we've been delivered from the wrath to come. We've been delivered from God's judgment. Those of us in Christ. But notice also, at the judgment seat of Christ, you don't have to worry about your sins. Understand something. When you and I stand at the judgment seat of Christ, my sins and your sins will not be brought up, because Jesus on the cross paid for those sins. They're done. It's over. They've been washed away. They'll never be brought up again. when you appear at the judgment seat of Christ, it'll be for our service to the Lord. And by the way, everyone that's ever been saved, God has equipped us to carry out service for Him in His church. Amen? I've talked to a lot of folks over the years. Can't do nothing. I'm not worthy. I'm not learned. Let me tell you about a man from Texas. And the man was literally illiterate. Couldn't read and couldn't write. He went to a revival. Just so happened that old John Rice was preaching a revival. And this man gave his heart to Jesus one night at the revival. Anyways, all of his family, they were excited and they were thankful that he got saved. But they kept trying to tell him, well, now that you're saved, there ain't a whole lot you can do because you can't read, you can't write. The gentleman said, you know what I can do? He goes, it's true. You'll have to read the Bible to me, told his wife, because I can't read it. But you know what I can do? He goes, I can buy tracts and I can pass out tracts. Do you know in the first month after his salvation, he had won a total of 168 people to Jesus through a tract. Amen. So understand, we are saved to serve. Amen. We're saved to serve. Now, again, because of what Jesus did on the cross, I don't have to ever worry about my sins being brought up because they have been forgiven. When he cried out, it's finished, that's exactly what he meant. It's finished. Been washed by the blood, cleansed by his blood, I am saved. Aren't you thankful you are a child of God? Now, again, that judgment seat has nothing to do with salvation and sin because we've been saved, our sins have been forgiven. It's about service. It's about service. Now, notice what it says. He said, I've laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon, but let every man take heed how he builds upon. Did y'all get that? Let every man pay attention, take heed on how you build upon that foundation. You see, I've come to the conclusion a lot of us don't know how to build much. Amen? We don't know how to build. You see, everything's been laid out for us. We're to build on Jesus. Now, Jesus, through his Holy Spirit, will lead you, and he will direct you, and he will teach you what it is he wants you to do. And he will equip you to do that very thing. And it's simple when we're submitted and obedient to it. But when we decide to put ourselves in the way, when we decide, you know what? Lord, that's asking a little too much, don't you think? Did you forget what he did for you? It wasn't too much for him to go to the cross and suffer the agony, the indignity, dying there in our place so that we might be saved. Now, he tells us, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. So we're to be careful what we build. Now, there's lots of stuff out there. There's lots of material out there. But is it the right material or is it the wrong material? The material that the Apostle Paul used was the right material because it was all about the gospel of Jesus Christ. His death, his burial, and his resurrection. And because of that, he's trying to tell the Corinthians and us through his word this morning that we can also build upon the foundation that's going to be acceptable to God. So if we are building upon a foundation that's acceptable to God, then there's also a foundation we can build on that is not acceptable to God. What are some of those things, Pastor John? Glad you asked. First of all, when we neglect to read our Bibles, when we neglect to pray, when we neglect to share our faith with others, when we get cranky and angry at a brother or a sister, when we gossip, when we lie, when we do all manner of things like the world, those are things that are wrong about the foundation we're trying to build on. And we're not going to be rewarded for that. I'll even go one better than that. There would be those that have been washed by the blood, they're saved, but they're not on fire for God like they once were. And they're not looking for His glorious appearing. Amen? Sometimes we live our lives forgetting that He said He's coming back. And if He said He's going to come back, bank on it, He's coming. The question is, are you going? You're only going to go if you know Him as your personal Savior. Now, let me say this too. Speaking of salvation, those of us that are saved aren't saved till we mess up. We are saved forever. That will never change. So you may be out there doing your own thing, not building upon the foundation of Jesus Christ that you should be. You're still going to go to heaven because God is faithful to His Word. I was reading over there in 2 Timothy where if we deny Him, He will deny us. But yet He abideth faithful. Do you understand what? Even when we turn our backs, even after we've come to the saving knowledge of Christ, we've been washed, we've been saved, we are redeemed, and we walk away for whatever reason. And by the way, you meet people all the time that walk away. They were once in church, once serving God, and for whatever reason, a tragedy or something, they got their feelings hurt. And by the way, Baptists are real good about getting their feelings hurt. Amen. Brother Mike, you're looking at me wrong. I'm mad at you. You sing better than me. I'm mad at you. You dress better than me. I'm mad at you. I want the attention. That's your problem. It's about you instead of making it about the Lord. It's got to be about God. That's why we're here today, right? Are we here to worship Him or are you coming to see me? If you're coming to see me, bless your heart. Because, you're wasting your time. Amen. Sir? Lots of hearts broken. I'm mad at you too. Notice with me, please, that it's all about God. Is that not why you're here? You're here because you love the Lord. You're here because it's our responsibility and our duty to worship Him. And Brother Bill in his devotional said he got family that told him that, I can worship God anywhere. I don't have to be in church. Well, the problem is, you don't. You don't. I had a guy that, man, he was a great hunter. And, of course, I kind of like being around guys that know how to hunt because I get ideas and whatnot back home. But when deer season came around, he wasn't going to be in church. He was going to be on the deer stand. And I asked him, I said, brother, you know, you got 6 days you can hunt. One day is the Lord's day. Don't you think He ought to be here? And you know what he told me? He says, well, I can worship Him on my deer stand, and I do. I said, brother, you're fooling yourself. You're not worshiping Him. You're looking for that buck to walk across in front of you. I go, no, no. Again, we don't do it, do we? But we're here in God's house to honor Him this morning. And by doing it, you're laying upon that foundation that He wants us to build upon. Every time you come through the doors, just think about it. You know what? I'm adding another brick to my foundation. Amen. Every time you read your Bible, I'm adding another brick. Every time I pray for someone, another brick. Every time I mention Jesus to someone, I'm building. Every time I do some act in the church for the benefit of Christ, I'm building on that foundation. And beloved, we build on that foundation. We won't hold our heads down. Amen. Now notice what it says. Let's go to the next. Verse 11 says, "For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Christ." So Paul tells us we have to build upon Jesus Christ. "Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work," now he's talking about every man that's saved, "every man's work shall be made manifest," brought to life, brought before you. Now, I've had some theologians tell me, heard some preachers preach, that everybody is going to be there and they're going to watch. I don't believe that. Because God deals with the individual, one on one. He saves us one on one. One on one. Now, is he capable of saving many? Of course he is. But he reaches down to us individually to save us. But we'll be there. And at the judgment seat, eventually, he's going to get to your name. And you're going to walk before the King of Glory. And you know what is scary? Not that I dread it, because again, because of that cross right there, Jesus dying on it for my sins, I'm not worried about my sin. But I'm worried about some of my motives. Some of my work for him may not have been pure. Some of my sermons may have been preached to impress men. And if that's the case, it's going to burn up. Boy, is it going to be a bonfire. Maybe I preached once or twice in a manner to tickle somebody's ears. Burn up. Wood, hay, and stubble. You see what I'm saying? And this is the kicker. When we see him, when we behold him, and he's there, and we see those nail-scarred prints in his hands, and we see him, and he gives us that gaze. And by the way, did you notice what it says, fire? Notice it says, revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. That fire, when I think of that fire, I think about his eternal gaze. You see, he's going to see us for who we really are. I guess what I'm trying to say, so everybody understands it, the cat will be out of the bag. Amen? He'll know exactly, because he knows our thoughts. And he'll know if we did it to be seen, if we did it for our own glory and not his. And may I say, everything we do as a born-again child of God should always be for his glory. It should be first and foremost. Now, there's folks out there who'll say, and I've heard this before, talked to a child of God and they've strayed, they've wandered away, talked to them before, and they'll say, well, I'm saved so I can live any way I want to. Well, I have a problem with that, and so does the Lord. Because if you're truly saved, you're not going to live the way you want to. You're going to do your best to live the way he wants you to. Now, are you going to be perfect? No. That's not, no, there's no perfection until we're there with him. But you'll have a desire to serve Him. At least, I pray some of the time. Amen. Person tells you they have no desire for the Lord, or church anymore, or the Bible, or prayer, or talking about Jesus to anyone. Listen to me. I don't know their hearts. God does, but I do doubt their salvation. But I'm not the judge. That's between them and the Lord. But Jesus told me I could judge them by the fruit that they bear. If they're not bearing fruit, chances are they don't know the Master. False profession of faith. There's a lot of that out there today. Now, notice, as he glares, he sees all things. He knows your motives. For if any man, look at verse 14, if any man's work abides, which he's built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. You know, it still blows my mind. You would think it'd be enough that Jesus loved us to die on the cross in our place, to pay the penalty for our sins in our place, to forgive us of our sins, and promise to take us home to be in glory with Him. You would think that would be enough, but understand, He's also going to reward us for our service. I've said it many times, God pays good wages. Amen? He pays good wages. You say, well, what are some of those wages? Well, according to the Word of God, that there are five different crowns that we can receive as we serve Him down here on earth. Now, there is, I just dropped. I guess my breath is bad. It just dropped off the wall. It's melting the wall. There's five crowns. And all of them are significant for the walk of a believer. Do y'all know what the five crowns are? Soul winner's crown, okay. So, soul winner's crown is for who? Those that win souls. Can I ask you a question? Is it important to win souls? Let me just throw this in. Maybe you've heard this, maybe you haven't, brother. I know you and Sister Tabitha are real good about soul winning. But really, it's not soul winning. It's called soul warning. Because God does the saving. We have nothing to do with it. But we have a responsibility to warn folks of judgment, His wrath. And by the way, lots of folks don't believe in His wrath. Oh, God's a God of love and mercy. And He is all of those things, absolutely. Believe me, He loves us and He's merciful and He's giving. And He's compassionate. But there will come a time when He says enough's enough. You see, I don't think He takes it lightly when we reject His Son. Because believe it or not, that's the thing that sends your soul to hell. When you reject what Jesus did for you. The Lord has no tolerance for that. Now, He'll tolerate a lot of things. But He will not tolerate you rejecting His only begotten Son. So if you're under the sound of my voice this morning, you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, listen, I implore you this morning, give your heart to Christ. Don't leave this church without knowing Jesus as your personal Savior. Don't do it. Now, we were talking about crown, rewards. Yes, there are five of them. One of them is a soul winner's crown. Another is, can't remember the name of it. Ain't that something? Just went blank. But it concerns overcoming temptation. Another crown is for our looking toward His return. And then, of course, there's one, the crown of glory. I would remember that one because that deals with preachers and ministers who are faithful in teaching and preaching and leading the flock of God. You say, well, brother, what is the point? Why would He reward us? Go to Revelation real quick, chapter 4. I want to show you why. Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Look at verse 9. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, talking about the Lord. Verse 10, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You see, beloved, you hear preachers all the time, boy, I tell you what, when whatever rewards I get, I'm going to lay at his feet. Absolutely, we are. But we got to serve faithfully if we want to have something to lay at his feet. Understand, wouldn't it be disheartening? See everybody else coming out with crowns to lay at the foot of the Lord on his throne. You have nothing. Oh, you're saved. But you have nothing to lay at his feet. Think about that for a second. It says, any man's work shall be burned, he'll suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. When Jesus saves you, he saves you forever. And you will go to heaven. But from the moment you're saved till the moment we're called out, either through rapture or death, we should be serving him. And laying and building upon that foundation, Jesus Christ and him crucified. Notice, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. I used to think when I first got saved, so I'd read this passage, I used to think, wow, there's going to be a big old oven. And all of our works, whether good or bad, they're just going to be burnt. And what didn't burn, you're going to be rewarded for. What burnt, you're not going to be rewarded for. But it was all together. It's not a big oven. It's not everything all together and just see what's left. No, no, no. Purposefully. Wood, hay, or stubble, it's going to burn. Regardless. And it'll burn easily. But those precious things, that we lay upon the foundation, gold, silver, precious stones. Listen, they may be tried by the fire, but listen to me. Those will be the things that last, and those will be the things that we will be rewarded for. And it'll be separate. They won't be together. The good things that we do in service to him will not be burnt to a crisp. But those things that we build upon the foundation that are wrong, that are self-serving for us, poof. So I guess what I'm trying to get across to you this morning is, as the word said in verse 13, there is a day that shall declare it. What does that day declare about you and me this morning? Does it declare that we are born again children of God? We have trusted Jesus as our personal Savior? Or does it declare we're just putting on, we're just pretending to be what we're not? Well, there is a remedy for that. His name is Jesus. He will not cast you away. Listen, took me 3 times to get it right. I guess because I'm thick-skulled. I don't know. Took me 3 times. I made a profession of faith when I was about 12 years old. I didn't understand. I made a profession of faith when I was about 14 years old. Still didn't understand. And then after 14, I was out there living like the devil. But then an old preacher came to visit me when God put me on my back and says, "I don't think you're saved. How dare you? Who do you think you are?" You know, we kind of get angry, don't we? Somebody tell us we're sinners. He's telling the truth. I was a sinner. After he left, Holy Spirit began to deal with my heart. Everything that that man said to me was true. And I needed Jesus. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I feel all my heart that this was the last opportunity I would have. I think God said, enough's enough. Either do it or I'm taking you out. Well, thank God I had enough common sense to know, hey, through the Holy Spirit, that I need Jesus. And when he saved me, praise God, he saved me. And aren't you thankful to be saved this morning? Amen. When he saved me, he gave me a desire I thought I'd never have. And that was for the things of God. And folks, don't fool yourself. If you don't have a desire for the things of God, you need to search your heart and get to this altar and get that settled. Because, listen, your heart, I want you to understand this, your heart can lead you wrong. There's a lot of folks that, oh, well, my heart led me to do this. Well, your heart can get you in trouble. Amen. The problem is the heart. It's got to be changed. And that change can only come when we humble ourselves before the Master, repent of our sins, and by childlike faith and trust, invite him into our heart to be our Lord and Savior. The moment you do that, you're saved. And the judgment seat of Christ, there's nothing for you to worry about as far as your sins and your salvation. But if you're under the sound of my voice and you're not building upon that foundation, which is Christ Jesus, as a saved child of God, if you're not building upon it, you don't have a desire to build upon it, you need to get yourself right. Because you will stand before him. Everybody stands before God, saved and lost. The difference is 1,000 years. Amen? 1,000 years. You say, what do you mean? Well, for us, the rapture is going to take place and there will be 7 years of tribulation. And during that 7 years, two things will happen to us believers. We will be at the judgment seat of Christ, and we'll have the marriage supper of the Lamb. After the 7 years begins the millennial reign of Christ. That's 1,000 years. You say, well, what will we be doing through the millennium? We'll be going to school. Jesus is going to be teaching us. But we will live upon the earth. And then after the 1,000 years comes, lost person, listen to me, what the Word of God calls the Great White Throne Judgment. And that judgment is for those that have rejected Jesus Christ. The Bible says the books will be opened. And whosoever's name was not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, that's your future, lost person, if you don't come to Jesus. But listen, he's here now. He wants to save you. He will save you. But you got to come. Amen? So, let's wrap it up. What does that day declare about you? Are you building on the right foundation? Is your foundation, the things, the materials that you're using, gold, silver, and precious stone? Or is it wood, hay, or stubble? The day's going to declare it one day. And believe me, as I said moments ago, the cat's going to be out of the bag for all of us. What was our motive? Why did we do the things that we did? Not sin, but serve. So where are you this morning in your service to God? Would you stand with me, please? As they come,